Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Survival Jobs, a podcast in collaboration with Broadway World. My name is Samantha Dawn Tutsalo, and this is my super handsome, talented, smart, the best person I know, Jason A. Coombs. Coombs? Did you just hear me have a, like, problem with my speech? Coombs.
That happens to me all the time. No worries.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Samantha Dawn. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you? What's your temperature check today?
Ooh, I am feeling, it's like the calm before the storm, which I feel like always happens a lot. It's like this weird in-between time where I just finished that really cool residency. So I'm back in Connecticut, where I was in Connecticut, back in Bridgeport. But I'm gearing up for this show that's happening this weekend that I'm helping out my friend with. So I've just been really busy prepping for that, of course, and like never ends.
That's so exciting. I'm good. You know, I'm feeling it's so... interesting. It's not interesting at all because it's been a fact forever that the weather really affects your mood. And it's just been feeling like a little bit warmer than it did this weekend. The sun is out and I just,
yes.
I'm feeling good. And so I know we talk a lot about, and we have talked about Hoda and Jenna on this show before, but I do watch these girls almost every morning. But by the way, I am working my survival job while I watch them. I have them in the background while I sort through emails. If I have a call, I pause them. If anyone from my job is listening, please don't come at me. But I do watch them a lot. And, you know, I watch them because it's just like good and light. But also I really learn from them as hosts. And I've said this so many times. I really think we are Hoda and Jenna. Like the vibe, the dynamic, like I am Jenna and you are Hoda. It's so funny when you really when you really like watch and pay attention to like their dynamic and like their personalities, the way that they interview and host. I feel like it's us in a different way, of course.
We need more wine. Don't they have a lot of wine?
No, they don't. That was when Kathy was the host. They did. They had wine every day. But like, yeah, let's still have wine.
But like 9 o'clock in the morning, was that?
Yeah, but like 9 o'clock, they're already up since like 3 or whatever. So they're like up since 3 a.m. So it's like 9 o'clock
somewhere.
Like ladies who lunch, kinda, yeah. So I was watching yesterday. So I was watching yesterday and they had somebody on the show and I don't know who it was. Sorry. But she was, you know, they were talking about healthy habits to, you know, perform before bed and like when you wake up to like have a more positive day, to feel good. Do you hear this horn?
Yes.
Welcome to New York every day. Yeah, definitely. So they're saying like all these things to do to be feeling good in the mornings and to have a better sleep at night. And this lady was like, wake up, you know, 10 minutes before you need to and put on your clothes, get your coffee and go outside for a 10-minute walk. Like it's going to really help your day, kickstart it, feel better, feel happier. So today I got up 30 minutes before I normally do. And yes. I poured my coffee and I went to the park and I walked. And I really want to say, I listened to a podcast, which I'll talk about in a second. I really want to say it has affected my day and I feel better and I feel more alive. I feel more productive. I feel happier versus like, you know, we understand the work from home life, like waking up in your apartment, pouring your coffee in your apartment, working in your apartment. Sometimes I go to the coffee shop. Sometimes I go to my office, but you know, it's whatever. But anyway, thank you to Hoda and Jenna and the guests they had on who told me to go for a walk. And so I feel great and happy and alive. And I caught up on this podcast, which I've talked about on the show before, called Second Life, directed by Hillary, hosted by Hillary Kerr. You guys should check it out. You know, she really, it's really was like, when I listened to this, it got the inspiration for survival jobs. She speaks to mostly women about their second life and like starting off on one career path and then something else happens that you didn't expect maybe later in life, because, you know, women often have the, you know, stigma of once you hit a certain age, like that's it, you can't do anything else. So I just feel good. Shout out to Hoda and Jenna. Shout out to Second Life Podcast. That's my temperature check.
I was saying yes, but I was on mute. Yes. Catching up all the yeses I missed out on because I was on mute. Yes. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. I want to listen to that podcast. I should.
It's so good. And I did. Yeah. Sorry, if Hillary Kerr, if you're listening, I did write some down. I did write down some questions she asked. For inspiration for us to like switch it up a bit. It's really good to learn from other hosts and other people mm-hmm. who interview guests, just to see what they chat about and the way that their interviews flow and the conversations they have. It's always good to keep on learning, keep on expanding, for sure. Keep on growing.
Keep growing, baby. So yeah, it's Valentine's Day weekend the weekend before Valentine's Day. And wait, do you have a Valentine, Samantha?
You?
Well, you? Aww. Yeah, that's, there we go. So I'm wearing this t-shirt.
Cupid costume. Yeah, Jason, you're my Valentine.
I love that for us. You're my Valentine too. But I'm hosting this show, which is called The Krabby Cabaret, which I talked about briefly a couple episodes ago, but I didn't really give the big plug. But it's a show happening at the Bijou Theater here in Bridgeport. It's one of the oldest theaters in the country. And my friend Sarah Byrne is the director and creator of this show called The Krabby Cabaret. And it's called The Not So Happy Valentine's Day. It's all songs that are like fun and a little bit risque and a little bit, you know, sassy. And just like, it's going to be a really good time. Lisa was in the first one. Our good friend Lisa Lampanelli was in the first one. But this one's gonna be really cool, and she asked me to host, so I'm gonna be hosting it. That's why I'm wearing this t-shirt. I was like, I gotta make sure this thing fits. Maybe I'll just wear it for this to make sure.
It definitely fits. You look good.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, I just wanted to tell people, if you hear this before Friday, February 10th, and you want to get tickets, you want to come take the train to Bridgeport, or if you're in the area, tickets are $15. You can use the code LOVE to save $5.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there'll be 10. And you can get them at the Bridgeport, Bijou Theater, ct.net. There we get your tickets at. It's going to be a really good show. There's going to be some Alanis Morissette you might hear, a little bit of musical theater, maybe some Whitney. Like, it's going to be a lot of fun. So,
ooh, Whitney. Jason, are you singing? Or are you just hosting?
No, I'm just hosting.
Man, I wish you could make a look. I would love for you to have a solo.
I'm dead. No, I'm just happy to host and happy to co-produce and to assist Sarah in her endeavors. Like I was saying before in that last episode, she's just one of those people who, you know, she has a full-time job, but also loves to create. And she's an amazing singer. And I'm happy that she's finding that outlet to do her love, even if she's not, you know, in New York City pounding the pavement like some others, you know.
You can pound the pavement no matter what city you're in. So shout out to Sarah. Right? And shout out to you. Literally, you're like Hamilton running. I'm like, dead. Why do you, you literally are like, why do you write? Like you're running out of time. Why do you write? Why do you host? Why do you produce? Like you just are going. And it's always really admirable. So shout out to you, Jason, and the best Valentine ever.
Yes, for sure.
I am doing a little like Galentine and Gays dinner. My Galentine and my gays. How good is that? Shout out mm-hmm. to Marie, who we love, who works with O&M, who has been helping us get guests. She and I have gotten like pretty close this past year, and I was like, will you be my Galentine? So we were like planning Galentine's dinner. Yeah. But then we were like, let's bring our gays in. So we're doing just like a little dinner. We called it Galentine and the Gays.
Very good title.
You know, can I just say something about Valentine's Day? Like, I think every time it rolls around, single people are like, I'm single and like, I'm sad. But like, I just want to shout out to all the single people. There's nothing wrong with being single. We're not single. You know, there are people who want to date and want that life and want that partner, and they work towards it. And eventually, if you try hard, you'll land there. I want to say I am a single 32-year-old woman, and I don't try to date. Maybe one day I will. I've dated. I've had long-term serious boyfriends in the past. I've dated. I've had a good time. I just am at a point in my life where I am not swiping. Occasionally I try. I'm not really like eager to like go sit at a bar with somebody that I don't know and ask them about, you know, their job or their friend group. I'm just like not there. So I want to shout out to all the people who are single and like fine and happy with it. There's nothing to be, oh, I'm single on Valentine's Day. Like, I am single on Valentine's Day, and I am here for it, and I'm happy about it.
Big facts, big mood, big energy.
Thank you.
Mic drop. There she goes.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to add before we go into our guest?
No, I think, you know, I'm just feeling good.
Before we jump into our special guest, Daniel Beeman, I just wanted to acknowledge Tyree Nichols, who was another Black man who was, you know, brutally killed by the police. So I just wanted to say his name again, because I know, like, we talked about it briefly last week, but I feel like it always becomes this thing where we, like, talk about it and then it kind of just dissipates. Right. So I just wanted to acknowledge two episodes in a row of that.
Do you have, like, any organizations that we can shout out, that we can donate to, that we can volunteer at?
I think we have them. I think we have them on the list from the last, last, you know, unfortunately. Last
handful of times that we've had to talk about this.
Correct? Yeah, I think we always have the list on our show notes. Maybe I'll try to find some updated ones. Maybe that's a really good idea, Samantha. Just because we try to be, you know, socially conscious, and we try to use our platform in the best ways that we can, so...
Well, yeah, and it's so important to acknowledge it while we are here to talk about art and inspiration and things that fulfill us. We're still living in this world that needs to improve, or else we can't continue to be happy, cheerful people if there's so much terribleness happening around us.
Yeah.
Terribleness is not a word.
We get it.
It expressed how
it expresses perfectly. Perfectly.
Thank you.
You know, words were not words before they were words. Right?
That's right. That's right.
Just talk about Daniel Beeman.
Yeah, Daniel. It was so nice to chat with him, you guys. This is our now third Survival Jobs, a podcast guest from Funny Girl. So we're just making our way through the cast. You know, we are big Funny Girl fans, and it was so good to chat with him. He has some great, great, great stories. He really inspired me, his journey. And, you know, he sort of came into theater a little bit later. Not really, but a little bit, you know. So his journey is really great, you guys. And buckle up.
It's buckled. So I read his bio. Daniel Beeman is currently in the Funny Girl Ensemble, which is his Broadway debut. Previous credits include the tours of Hello Dolly, where he played Cornelius, Something Rotten, where he was the Shakespeare understudy. Regional theaters he's performed at include KC Rep, KC Starlight, MT Wichita, Ogunquit Playhouse, and Spinning Tree.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fierce and fire. Enjoy.
Enjoy, y'all. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to my Valentine, Coomzee.
Yes. Hey, Daniel. Thank you for joining us on Survival Jobs, the podcast. How's it going, Daniel?
Hi, y'all. Thanks for having me. It's been really well. How are you?
You know,
I can't complain.
We're good. Jason's in the middle of a writing residency right now, so he's absolutely killing it, multitasking with survival jobs, writing residencies, podcasts.
That's so exciting. Yeah.
I'm just struggling to wake up on time for the day. So that's where I'm at.
I know it. I'm with you.
I had a whole plan today. I was like, I'm going to get up super early, work out, like do laundry before I like log into my survival job. And I fully didn't do that.
That's okay. It's fine.
It's okay. Yeah, exactly.
Happy February.
Yeah.
So Daniel, we were just chatting about you are our third cast member from Funny Girl.
Yes.
Third time's a charm, you know? Perfect. So we're so happy to talk to you and chat Funny Girl, chat all the things. But before we do that, let's talk about survival jobs.
I love it. Let's do it.
what do you think defines a survival job? Like, what does that mean to you?
How I always like, whenever, you know, because when like you move to New York and like you're on the phone like with your parents like every once in a while, they're like, you know, how's it going? And then you know you're like, well, I'm doing the survival job. And that's such a concept that's like, I don't want to say it's like foreign to people, maybe not in our industry, but you know, it kind of is in a certain way. But it just, for me, it means anything that you do that can pay the bills, that isn't necessarily exactly what you want to be doing, performing wise. So that's how I've always looked at it. It was always like a distinct, this is what I do to make money in order to pursue this crazy dream of mine. So that's what always meant to me. It's literally a job to survive.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah.
Bam. I mean, everyone's interpretation is different, but I think that's a ding, ding, ding for me.
Totally.
Dan, do you have a favorite survival job? Maybe one that, you know, maybe impacted your acting career?
Or yeah.
Maybe it's one you enjoyed?
Yeah. You know, I got to say, like, so many, I bet a lot of actors, you know, still work here. But, like, when I first moved to the city in 2015, the main day job that I had was at Lululemon, which was great. I mean, other friends of mine who, you know, had lived here, we're all like, you know, it's consistent, it's chill. And, you know, a lot of people that you work with are also actors or musicians. So there's just kind of this built-in understanding of like how the industry works. So that was like my favorite day job. Cause I worked with pretty much all actors and it was just like a bunch of theater kids running a store, which was very
so
exciting.
So there's lots of drama.
Yeah.
Breaking out into song.
Exactly. Listen, when you know, when the doors were locked and we had to clean up, listen, a lot of show tunes were being played over the PA. It was lovely. We were all, you know, kind of after the same thing. So it was super easy. Like, hey, you know, I got a last minute audition. Could you cover me for XYZ? And then someone usually would. And it was just always it was just nice. And everyone, you know, everyone was like into working out or going to dance classes and that kind of stuff. So I had a great time at my day job. Obviously there were other ones like along the way that weren't as lovely, but we've all done the catering and you know, which is always wonderful and, you know, horrifying in the at the same time. But you know, I remember like first moving here, I think my roommate at the time, this was before I went to Lulu, and you know, he was like, I think I was asking him like, you know, what do you do for like, you know, a day job? And he was like, well, you know, I work with this catering company. I can like forward your info on. I was like, great. So he did that. And I got an email that was like, great, you're hired. I was like, fierce, what's next? And I remember they were like, okay, here's like your first event. And it was like this address in Midtown. And they were like, just show up at like 6 a.m. I was like, okay, great. Wear this. I was like, fierce. I'll, you know, whatever. So I'm rolling up into Times Square at, you know, 6 a.m. And there's all these people that know what they're doing. And I was, you know, it was like one of 100 people. I had no clue what I was doing. I walked in. And it was like, I talked to maybe 4 people. And I was just like, hi, I don't know what I'm doing. Just point me in the direction. No one pointed me in the direction. So then I was just kind of, you know, like, oh, this looks like it needs to be done. I'll try this. And I remember I got yelled at in front of everyone for opening champagne bottles incorrectly. I was like, you know, this is not going great, but like, you know what? I'm living the New York dream. We're fine. And then they're like, okay, you take this tray. I was like, okay, great. And they're like, you're going to go through these doors. And then, you know, you're just going to walk around and start, you know, whatever. So then music starts bumping. I'm like, and I finally turned to someone. I was like, what are we doing? Like, where are we? And he's like, oh, it's the Good Morning America, like 50th anniversary or whatever. Okay. I was like, what do you mean? So we walk out into the studio and we're like on camera. A, didn't know that.
Oh my gosh.
Pitbull is performing. And then it's like George Stephanopoulos and all the people. And I was like,
oh my God,
how is this my first one? And then I was like, never done it before. And I'm literally like serving people like on camera. It was horrifying. I hope I avoided the camera, but that was my intro into catering. I was like, this is bananas. And it was just like the wildest first New York experience.
Did you have to sign like a waiver to be on camera, or they were just like running?
Honestly, maybe I did. And you know, this was 2015. It was like 7 years ago almost at this point. But it was just like, what is happening? So anyway, that was my first.
That was
my first catering job. It was a little nutty. You know,
trying to open up a bottle of champagne in front of Mr. Worldwide.
horrifying, right? So. That was my first catering experience. It was a little, you know, it was an exciting one for sure. The ones thereafter were not as exciting, but that was kind of like is this how all of them are? Because it was so stressful. And, you know, it was, you know, I was 20, what was I, like 22? So it was like,
oh, man.
Wow,
nothing mattered.
You're a baby.
You know? Yeah, just doing the thing.
Exactly.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Wow. I also want to say that I've been thinking about, dead serious, getting like a very part-time job at Lulu, because the discount that the staff gets is so good.
Well, then you start. So good. Then we're kind of like, maybe they should just pay us in product. Because, I mean, you end up
buying so much.
Exactly. But. Listen, I really enjoyed working for them, and they were just really, really flexible, and they got it, and it was just a really lovely experience.
Those legs feel like butter. Sorry,
I know. Yeah. I know.
No, you're good.
No,
I was gonna say that took me back to like hearing you talk about like the joyfulness of like working there.
Yeah,
took me back to like when I used to work at Starbucks in Connecticut a long time ago, and like how it was just a bunch of us were just like young in our 20s, and it was a very non-busy store in the afternoons and nighttime. Yeah. So we'd like have like fashion shows, and we gave this kid a makeover one day, and like we bought him all new clothes, and he was like trying them on, and
we were like
throwing pastries out the window, out the window, like how far we could throw them. Like,
pastry throwing contests.
Oh my God.
How carefree was that back then, right?
Wow. Yeah, truly. And like,
thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course. Like, whatever you got to do to get through, because we know those hours are long. Yeah. And, you know, when you're opening the store at, you know, on like Sundays, you know, there was like a yoga class in there that started at like, I don't know, 8 or 9 in the morning. So, you know, I was living. Yeah. Way uptown at the time, and I remember like I would have to get on like the 7 a.m. get off on 14th, and you know, but it was, you know, it was everyone was in it together, and it was like, it was somehow fun and enjoyable. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, of course.
It's so fun. So we were reading that you were a competitive swimmer and Irish dancer, or yeah. competitive Irish dancer,
yes.
and a swimmer.
Yes.
So how did you transition into theater? Like, what was like the,
I have quite honestly, I have no idea. Yeah. My dad was a swim coach for like 30, 40 years. Wow. So swimming kind of was always what, you know, my brother and I did. And so I did that, you know, all through high school. I thought I wanted to like swim in college, and then I ended up not wanting to, but it was like, yeah, okay, well, you know, I'll swim. And then I remember my mom had a VHS of Riverdance. And I remember just watching it over and over and over.
Commercials on TV.
Yes, come on. Right. It's like the, you know, the early 2000s, and it was still, you know, cause it was kind of at its height at that time. And I remember just like she had the VHS and I just would watch it and I'd be like, I want to try that. And we found a studio in my hometown that was like certified, like in the Irish dance world, there are certain, to be like a competitive Irish dance studio, you have to be like certified by this organizing body in Ireland. And there happened to be a studio in Omaha where I'm from. And I just started kind of taking lessons. And then that turned into starting to compete. And then it was like, oh, then we were traveling around the country, just going to these competitions. You should YouTube it if you ever. It is a fascinating world. There's a whole documentary on it. It's just fascinating. But started competing everywhere, and you know, got, you know, competed at the World Championships twice. And
where's the World Championships? Ireland?
Every year it changes every year, but oh. I did it in Ireland, and then it was in Boston one year. So. It was around that time that I was finishing up Irish dancing, because that would have been like 2012, 2013, that my college roommate was like a huge theater nerd. And I had like, you know, I grew up on the Donny Osmond, Joseph VHS.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, grew up on
that. That was my concept of musical theater, and like yes. we saw the tours that would come through Omaha, but for whatever reason I didn't connect the dots that those were like human people that did this. For whatever reason, I just was like, what a fun show, and that was the end of it. But then in college, my roommate was like, you sing, don't you? And I was like, yeah, you know, I've sung in choirs all through my life and in high school and growing up. And he's like, well, there's this, I saw this community theater's doing Next to Normal. Maybe you should go audition. I feel like you'd be right for one of the roles. I was like, oh, okay. So I went to, and, you know, didn't know what a resume was. I didn't know what any of these things were.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
They were like, just, you know, they had me sing like the Gabe material. So I sang it. And they're like, you got it. I was like, sweet. What does that mean? So, you know, and obviously I had, you know, been on stage with choir and Irish dance. So I kind of had a vague understanding, but that was the first time that it was like a show. They were like, okay, here's how it goes and all the things. And we did the show. It was great. And that was the moment that I like the bug kind of bit me. And I remember calling my parents being like, you know what? I think I'm going to try this. Cause I ended up, I have a degree in journalism, which is what I was studying at the time. Mm-hmm. So it was a total left turn, but I remember calling my parents, and my mom was like, duh. Like she had this grand plan in the back of her head where she was like, yeah, like yeah. I, you know, she always kind of thought like, this is what you should be doing. So that was kind of a lovely little surprise that we all were on the same page.
Yes.
So from that point on, then I just, I auditioned at Music Theater Wichita because I started taking voice lessons after that show. And my voice teacher at the time was like, you should audition for the summer stock. And I did. And I ended up getting it. And then I would say that summer of 2013, which was almost a decade ago now, that was kind of the time that it was like, okay, it's cemented. Like, this is what I need to be doing. I made a lot of friends that were in like BFA programs and moving to New York. And that was when I cut my teeth that summer. And then I just started working. I went to college in Kansas City, which is a great theater town. And I just started working a ton and got my equity card and just started, you know, just working and doing shows left and right. And then I finally decided, like, you know what, I'm going to move to New York and we're going to do it. And here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah. So it was kind of a very roundabout. It was all over the place, you know, just doing a million different things. Yeah. And then kind of like finally finding this and like, oh yeah, this is it.
Also, shout out to your mom, because I feel like a lot of parents at the age when you're already in college and choosing a life path, a lot of parents would be like, what?
Yeah.
Totally. Your mom's like, duh.
Duh.
Like, that's, yeah. Like, yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. I got really lucky. Both my parents are, you know, and now that I'm, you know, I've been doing, you know, like tours and on Broadway now, my parents are like, season, you know, subscribers to the tours in Omaha. Wow. They're now subscribers to this little like regional theater in Omaha that they're like, okay, we're seeing, and they do all the like avant-garde kind of like,
oh snap,
weirder stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, we just saw this show. I was like, you saw that? Like, what do you mean? Like, you did? So yeah, it's kind of cool because they always loved it, you know, growing up, like all the Joseph, Phantom, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then now that I'm in it, now they're starting to be like, you know, I've done a couple Sondheims now, and they're like, well, you know, our favorite Sondheim's this one. And I'm like, oh. So it's kind of funny that it has kind of inspired a mutual love between all of us. So
how many times have they seen you in Funny?
Many. They've probably come up they've come up like three or four times now.
Wow.
And it's usually like, you know, they'll come for like 3 to 4 days at a time, but they will see every performance. They'll go to a 10 show day. Wow. They're like, yep. So each time that they're here, I'm like, well, do you want to see something else? They're like, well, no. So
they're like, we want to see Lea Michele.
There's. Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So they're like, they have seen, you know, they now know the lines, they know everything. And now
that
they're like,
so cute.
You know, yeah, it's very sweet. So.
Oh God, I love that.
Yeah.
My mom is very similar in the sense where she's like, well, I know this about theater.
Yeah.
I've been trying to show my niece Hamilton on Disney Plus.
Oh, yes.
And my mom was over and Chris Jackson came on and my mom looked at me. She goes, I know that's Benny, Samantha, like from In the Heights.
And that's, I'm like, right. Oh my God. Yeah.
Good work, Donnie.
Wow. She started to connect the dots and all that. Oh, I love
it. Like, I fully relate on like the parents being like, I know Sondheim. And my mom's like, I saw Lin-Manuel backstage before he was even Lin-Manuel. I'm like, no, he was always Lin-Manuel.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But before everyone else knew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So this is your Broadway debut, Funny Girl.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's been like, you know, making your debut in such a talked about production?
Yeah, totally. It was, well, I mean, you know, we all came out of the pandemic, you know, what's the word? I don't want to say not optimistic, but like a little, because I mean, it took, you know, for like a year and a half, you know, everything was, they kept saying, oh, it's going to be August 2020, Broadway will be back. And then it just kept getting, you know, all these things. And we were just like, what do we do? So we were like, you know, juggling all the different things. Like, should I go back to school? Should I get a normal job in big quotes? Like, what should we do? And then, you know, the summer of 2021 rolls around and you know, I got an audition for it. And I was, at that point, I was auditioning a lot, you know, just like, you know, going in for, you know, a million different things, and it kind of felt like back to normal, for lack of a better term. But I remember just going in and auditioning and thinking like, I'm not getting my hopes up. And it was kind of the first time that I remember being like, I'm just going to go in and just do, I'm just going to do my thing. And I don't know if that made a difference or not, or if it just happened to be coincidence that it ended up working out in my favor, but there was a distinct, mental shift that I was like, I'm just going to do my thing. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And I just move on to the next one. And luckily it did. I remember my last callback was in, I don't know, early September, and I didn't hear anything, you know, for a couple of weeks, because I had like three rounds of auditions, and every time I danced, I was like, that was terrible. I'll never get this. And I remember I got the call, and my agent calls and he's like, He's like, Daniel. And I was like, yes. He's like, it's Steven. I was like, hi. He's like, I have an offer for you. And I was going through I was just rattling through every audition. I was like, well, okay, well, I didn't have a callback for that. And I was like, for what? Like, I don't even know. And he goes, I have an offer for you for the ensemble for Funny Girl. And I was like, when did I audition for Funny Girl? Which production? I was like, was it?
I'm dead.
And I truly was like, oh.
You're like,
and I think I said, I was like, are you sure? And he was like, yes. And then we talked through it. And then I was like, okay. And then I got off the phone and I called my boyfriend and I was like, I think I just got my Broadway debut. Wow. And then I called my mom and I called my dad. And then I got off the phone with all of them. And then like a few hours later, you know, I hadn't heard from my agent, because he was like, I'll email you in a bit with all the details. And I was like, okay. And then a few hours later, he emails, and I had to reread the email about 10 times, because I just didn't think, after the last year and a half that we had, how is it possible that this thing that I've been working towards for the last decade, how what do you mean it just came to fruition? I don't know. Like, it just happens, you know? You know? So it took several months, because then at that point, we weren't starting rehearsals until February. So it was like a 5-month period where I was like, they made a mistake. It was the wrong headshot.
They
pulled the wrong headshot. They called the wrong Daniel. I was going through every reason in my head up until the morning of our first rehearsal. I was walking. I'm like, I'm going to walk in. There's not going to be anyone there. This is,
oh my God. I felt that for sure.
It was total, like, I just didn't believe any of it until I walked into the rehearsal room and everyone was there. It's like, oh, this is happening. So it's been, you know, so getting the call was just insane. And, you know, I still kind of can't believe it at times. But it has been just such a lovely experience, because, you know, everyone from top to bottom has just been lovely and kind. And, you know, everyone kind of said, you know, we all came out at the other end of something awful that is still unfortunately ongoing, but we're lucky enough that we get to do this now. So there was just this, like, it was kind of like a clean slate and everyone was just excited to be there. And it's just been like a lovely experience, you know? And like, what a fun, you know, they haven't done this show since, you know, 1964, 65, whenever it debuted. So it's very special to bring that show back to Broadway, you know, 50 plus years later. So
yeah,
60 years later, almost. Yeah.
Jason Iconic. And I came, we loved it.
Oh, you did?
When? I don't even know anymore.
I honestly don't remember.
No,
it was so long ago.
It was
time just blurs together. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost a year. It's almost a year to the day of our first rehearsal. So,
it was summertime, right?
No idea. Couldn't tell you one thing about it. I'm no clue. Yeah. All I know is we went on a Thursday.
Okay, great. Love that.
And you can see that we made a little reel on our Instagram page. Maybe we'll share it again.
Oh, our little trip. Yes, please do. I got to find it. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then we'll know the date. Yeah. Once we find the reel.
Like, when was that? Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is so amazing, Daniel.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And I guess my question now is, for people who haven't seen it, like, why should they come? Like, I know why I think people should go, but why do you think people should come and see it?
I mean, we all know this score, whether we know it or not. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've all heard people.
Of course,
we've all heard
The Rain on My Parade.
And it's just, this is just the best way to hear that music. It's, you know, a Broadway orchestra. There's a Broadway stage. You've got Lea Michele singing the material down. So it's just like, it's just the best way to see it. It feels like there are certain shows like, I will feel similarly, like, when I go see Parade. Like, it's like, this is how I want to see and hear this material. So that's kind of what I would tell people about Funny Girl. It's like, this is how you want to hear it. You want to hear it live, and you want to see everyone dancing and, you know, see Ramin and Tova and Leah and Jared and see the whole cast. And it's just the best way to see it. And what's cool too is, you know, so many people have grown up on the film. People grew up on the original cast recording, the movie soundtrack. So it's kind of ingrained in the American culture, if you will. Mm-hmm. And everyone has a connection to it, like, in some capacity. And, you know, it feels, there's something special about connecting to, like, material that is so ingrained in the musical theater canon and like I said, in American culture, and, like, seeing it in 2023, there's just something very special about connecting to it in that way. So anyway, long story short, come see it, just because it's just a fun time. Yes. And it's nice to hear just an old fashioned Broadway show, you know.
Yes, exactly. It is a spectacle. I was surprised by, like, how big it was, like, all the dance numbers and wow. It was so fun. It was such a great fun show.
You'll have a really fun time at Funny Girl.
Exactly.
So it seems like you've had, like, a very complex journey to get where you are.
Yeah.
Is there a person along your way who has shaped or changed you, or who has, like, been there with you at a difficult time that you think helps you, you know, lift you up to where you are now?
Yeah. You know, it really takes a village to do this. You know, I've been so lucky that I've had, like, voice teachers and, you know, acting coaches and dance teachers that in some way along every step of the way have been, like, it's kind of like slowly building you up until I've become this version of myself. So, I mean, my parents specifically have been there through it all, every up and down, and they've always been 100% supportive in, like, every capacity.
Clearly, your mom was, like, your biggest advocate.
Exactly. and my God, and my dad, too. My dad is the proudest person I think I've ever met. We could be, you know, if I'm in Omaha, you know, and it's like a stranger at the grocery store, and it's like, it'll come up somehow. You know what I mean? It's just like, how did you somehow find a way to bring this up? It's like, well, he's on Broadway, you know? I would say, like, my parents just have been specifically supportive since day one. And I think they've been the reason that I've been able to have the confidence and, you know, the ability to do this crazy thing that we all do. And on top of that, you know, everyone I've ever met in every show I've ever done in some capacity has, like, you know, helped me, like, either gain insight or learn a new skill or anything like that. Or, like, oh, you know, you're doing it this way, you should try it this way. And it's like, oh my God, I never thought of doing it that way. And then that helped. It's just been, there's been a million people along the way that have been so supportive and so, you know, helpful. And, you know, it's hard to pin down one person, but definitely my parents, I would say, we're our top of the list.
I love that.
Yeah, it's nice.
I love that so much. Yeah. I always want to ask this question because it's so important just to know what other artists are, like, what's feeding their souls, right? So do you have anything that's really bringing you comfort during these insane times in our country?
Oh my God.
When you're off the stage?
I love what is feeding my soul? Honestly, listen, the first thing that came to mind was Succession. I love it so much. I love, like...
We love Succession. We love.
I really have enjoyed watching, like... I feel like I've been catching up on, like, you know, movies that are critically acclaimed, win all the awards, that I just have never seen. You know what I mean? So, like, I've been doing a lot of that lately. Like, I had never seen Thelma and Louise. I'm like, why does everyone reference this movie? Wow. I'm gonna watch it. Things like that, where it's like, Daniel Day-Lewis's was really good in, you know, There Will Be Blood. I haven't seen it. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
So that's been, it's like a very total shift from what I do at night. But I really like, you know, I've really enjoyed watching like actors like acting on
yes.
screen.
Yes.
And so it kind of, that's what's been feeding my soul a bit is like, you know, cause the Funny Girl is, my role in Funny Girl is obviously not, you know, is not the most, what's the word? You know, I'm not doing
Needy.
Shakespeare here. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's
not Viola Davis.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I've been doing is kind of watching some like real gritty acting performances that are just stirring and exciting. And it inspires me to, you know, want to bring, this is so silly, but it wants me to even just bring even an iota of that into what I do at night.
Yeah.
In the sense, like it's made me like a better listener. Like that's what I've been watching are people on screen. Like, oh my God, like they are listening to them and how are they registering? So that's what I've been doing to kind of
feed
my
that.
Soul. Yeah.
I get into these moods too, where I do like old Hollywood movies, like the black and white
yes.
movies that, you know,
totally.
I just have never watched. So yeah. I love that. By the way, have you watched The Fablemans?
No, I haven't seen it yet. That's
okay,
next on our
list. We're talking about watching like acting down
yeah.
Michelle Williams in that movie.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Like, damn, listen, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of great performances this year, but I am like,
totally good to
like
know.
Kate Blanchett in Tar.
Oh,
great.
Yes, I've heard that was the other one that like that I need to see. And yeah, so that's what I've been. I need to like scour and like I want to watch performances.
Michelle Williams in okay. The Fablemans took me out.
Listen, she converted me in Fosse Verdon.
Oh yeah,
because I wasn't like the most familiar with her work. Maybe I had seen her in other things, but just hadn't really clocked her. But oh my God, I just remember watching that being like, who is she? Why haven't I known who she is? You know what I mean? Like, why haven't I been studying her? Cause I just think she's
yeah.
incredible. So good to know. I will be yeah. watching Michelle Williams in The Fablemans. So
10, 10, 10, 10.
Yes.
Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you for
yes,
joining us.
Of course. Of course.
We have one more question. My yeah. favorite question. We actually haven't asked this to guests in a while, Jason.
Oh
I'm pulling it back out.
Okay.
And then
love
we're going
to
jump into a super quick, fun game. We always love to end the show with a game.
I love it.
Okay. If you had to go back to your least favorite survival job,
mm-hmm.
so your catering gig on Good Morning America.
With Mr. Worldwide.
With yeah. Mr. Worldwide.
Dancing.
Yep.
Correct.
Behind
yep.
you. Put bull.
For the next 10 years to then come out of that and have your dream, perfect, blissful, artistic career, whatever that means to you,
mm-hmm.
would you do it?
If I had to do GMA for 10 years, is that what you're saying? Like that one thing?
Or like your least favorite,
just
like
least
the
favorite.
Catering
yeah, yeah.
gig in general, to come out and have whatever your dream artistic life is, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Would you do it?
Yes. Oh my God. Because it's the thing that we're all, you know, it's funny. So many people are like, oh my God, you're on Broadway. You've made it. And it's like, Broadway's not the finish line. I don't know if there is a finish line. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to have a guarantee of like, yes, all of them will come true and this is the finish line, absolutely I would.
because 10 years, really, if you think about it, like
it goes
it
by
seems
like
a long time, but like 10 years ago, I'm like, oh.
Oh, I remember 10 years. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But it's still like, we'll go in a blink.
Yeah. No, I totally would. I mean, you know, that is the one thing that I feel like connects all of us in this industry or any adjacent mm-hmm. entertainment industry is there is such drive behind every person that you meet
mm-hmm.
And it's what sustains us through those crazy jobs that we've all had is
sure.
you know the
dream.
I'm doing this now and like there will be a day where I don't have to do this
yeah.
Now that's not to say
Preach.
That you know once you hit the goal in big quotes that, you know, it's a roller coaster, this industry. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, just staying humble and knowing that some of these jobs are fleeting and just enjoying them as long as you can. But knowing that it is possible to achieve these things always sustained me in, you know, when I was serving crudité to George Stephanopoulos. So,
crudité.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I love that question so much. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody answers it so differently. And yeah, that's also why I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I do just want to say one quick thing before we jump into the game. You were like, I don't know if there ever is a finish line in this business. Yeah. And it's so true. Even my friends who are like super, super successful, TV, whatever, you know, there's always, you always want to get to that next level and always need to be fulfilled in different ways. So I think that's so important for all artists to know, like, just sit in it where you are and like enjoy the moment and keep working. Mm-hmm. But don't put the pressure.
Totally. It's so liberating. Yes. It's really liberating to know, you know, like, no, like where you are in this journey, in this industry is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there just is no finish line. It's like everything, you're always kind of floating through having the job, not having the job. And there's no one way to do it. And there's no winner. You know, no one that's like, congratulations, you've won theater. Like,
it's not true. Yeah.
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 I think our girl Viola says something similar. Like,
yeah, we love Viola.
We love her. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to be her when I grow up.
I think we all do.
Oh,
really. Awesome. So we're going to play a really fun game, Daniel.
Okay. Okay. With that. Okay.
Samantha, this came from your brain this time. So do you want to explain it?
So seeing as how you are in Funny Girl 8 shows a week.
Uh-huh.
We want to test your funny girl knowledge
and see how
well you're paying attention to those lyrics.
Oh no.
How well you're listening. Okay. You're saying you're
right. Oh,
I know. Now I got to put it to the test. We've done this at 340 shows or something. All right. Let's see if I'm okay.
This is called Fill in the Funny Girl Lyric. We're going to read you a little snippet and then we'll say like blank and then you fill in the blank.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jason. Kick it off.
Okay. With a 10-year guarantee, oh, sit me in the blank seat, quick a cushion for my feet.
Sit, 10-year guarantee, oh, sit me in the softest seat.
Correct.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
Okay, great, wonderful.
That's from Sadie Mary.
Yes, we love it.
Great, okay, you're starting off strong.
Great.
Next, we'll give their backs a big pat. They deserve a future full of joys because there are blank blank.
Because there are Yankee Doodle. There we go.
Killing it.
I love it.
Killing it. Okay.
Who carries in his satchel a powdered blue blank suit, a silver plated wah-wah mute?
A powder blue Norfolk suit.
Daniel!
Listen!
Are you in the show? 8 shows a week?
I expected you to be this good at it, but you never know. Sometimes we stump people.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Next. How many girls become a sinner while waiting for a blank dinner?
While waiting for a roast beef dinner.
Wow.
Gosh.
100%. And I mean, if you don't get the bonus, I think you're fired from the show.
Okay. I love it.
Samantha's making those executive calls. Okay.
Yeah, I'll call someone. I'm just kidding.
Listen, I get it.
I have no power. I don't even anywhere.
Okay, this is the bonus. Okay. Life's candy, the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my...
Hooray!
That was just like a bonus to throw in case you got one wrong, just to bring it back.
Oh, thank you. I do love extra credit, but...
I mean, you literally got extra, extra. You really killed the game.
Wonderful.
What does he win?
What do I win?
A special invitation to the season 3 premiere party of Survival Jobs Podcast.
Oh my God. Exciting.
Whenever that's going to be, we'll send you an invite. And we do it on a Sunday night so all of our Broadway friends can come.
Perfect. Fine. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you so much. It's very exciting.
Oh, it was so lovely to chat with you.
Thank you guys so much. This has been lovely.
Thank you. And before you go, would you mind telling all your new fans who may have listened where they can find you on the interwebs, on your social media?
Sure.
Can you share all that info?
Yes, I'm on the Instagram. You can find me at Daniel Beeman. And that is the only social media I have.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So safe. Keep it safe.
Keep it safe. Yeah. Find me on Instagram at Daniel Beeman. That's where you'll find me.
That's where you'll find
Love
me.
Love it.
And if you're tuning in to us for the first time because you're a Daniel fan, as you should be, check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Survival Jobs Pod. We're on Facebook at Survival Jobs a Podcast. Shoot us an email at survivaljobspod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Sammy Toots. And at my boy Jason at Jason A. Coombs.
Yes.
Daniel, we'll see Daniel. You around town.
Awesome. Thank you. This is
break all the legs.
Thank you so
Keep
much.
Keep shining.
Thanks.
Keep shining. Yeah.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.